Foxonic. Hey everyone, just taking a quick 15 seconds to let you know that my new book, The Fitness Mindset, Eat for Energy, Train for Attention, Manage Your Mindset, Reap the Results, which hit the bestseller list within 24 hours of its release, is now available to buy on Amazon. So if you're looking for everything you need to get into incredible shape and the mindset to keep it forever, be sure to check it out. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy this week's episode.
Welcome to Brian Keane Fitness Podcast, where we talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset with your host, Brian Keane.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Brian Keane Fitness Podcast. We talk everything fitness, nutrition, and mindset to help you with your goals. Today's episode is a Q&A, and I've pulled all these questions from my Instagram page. So Brian Keane Fitness, if you're on Instagram, be sure to check me out on there. I've been putting up all different finishers this month for anyone that's doing the Halloween challenge from a couple of episodes ago. And hopefully you're getting a lot of value from the workouts, different things I'm putting up on there. Be sure to hit me up on the DM, be sure to hit me up on comments, and be sure to check and hashtag Brian Keane Fitness if you're doing the Halloween challenge. So first question today comes in from Cormac Kelly. Is it better to have a workout training partner or workout by yourself? Okay, so that very much depends on reverse engineering you and your personality type. I'm going to talk about my personal preference, and then I'm going to speak on the benefits and cons of both. My personal preference has always been to train by myself because I get very, very in the zone. I get very, very focused and channeled when I train. And I like that disconnect. It's my hour or 2 hours, depending on what I'm doing, disconnect from the world, where I plug in to music or a podcast or whatever it is that I'm consuming or listening to. And it just allows me to completely disconnect from the world. When I train with somebody, I lose that. So the thing that I love most about training is it's effectively my meditation. So one of the reasons that I don't train with people, and very, very rarely will I train with somebody. Sometimes if I've ran a competition or something like that, I will bring somebody into a workout with me, or else I'll just double up that day and I'll just make sure that I've done my own workout earlier or later on in the day, because I personally don't like training with people. But that works down to my personality type and why I train. Like, I love being social with people. Like, I always say I'm a complete free game. If anyone ever sees me in the gym before or after my workouts, I love talking to people and chatting to them about whatever it is that's going on with them or anything I can help with. But during workouts, that's my meditative state. It's when I'm dropping into flow, which is effectively Mihály Csíkszentmihályi, and Stephen Kotler has a great book. Flow is Mihály Csíkszentmihályi's, and The Rise of Superman is Stephen Kotler is talking about the flow state, which is effectively what sports people get or musicians get when they're losing track of time. And we get it sometimes in conversations with different people where we're like, oh my God, how was that 2 hours? It felt like 2 minutes. And I get that when I train. It's my complete meditative flow state. And when I'm training with somebody, I lose that intensity, I lose that focus. So personally, I'm not a fan because my concentration and workouts aren't as good when I'm with somebody generally. However, on the flip side of that, if you're in the gym and you love the camaraderie side of training with somebody, particularly someone around your level or slightly above is even better. So if you're at a 8 out of 10 in terms of intensity level or in terms of the amount of times you've been training and your actual capabilities in the gym, you want to train with somebody at about a 9 or a 7 that's just below you. If there's too much of a gap, the training session is going to be terrible for both of you. But if there's just a slight gap between you, either there your training partner is slightly better or slightly worse or slightly stronger or slightly fitter, they are going to move you up and you're going to bring up your level of training by being alongside them. So it can work very, very well for that. However, if you find that you get caught training and talking in between sets and not being able to track your rest periods and you lose the intensity in your workout, then it might be worth considering training by yourself. And I do see that, particularly when guys come into the gym. And guys are a bit of a victim of this because I remember when I was in college, we used to go to the gym in groups of 4 or 5, and no one had a good workout because you were rotating in 4 or 5, your rest periods are way too long, and you just weren't getting your workouts done properly. One person is normally the optimal number to train with. And girls, it tends to be a little bit better with time because they'll do a lot more circuit work is what I found, or they'll jump in between. They just tend to be better with it. But it's very much down to the reasons on why you want a training partner. If you've never been in a gym before and you're nervous about it, then going in with somebody the first 5, 6, 7 times can massively reduce your gym anxiety before you start and join. So it's very much reverse engineering you and what works best. The best advice I can offer is, if you find you have better results and better training sessions when you have someone beside you, particularly a person that you regularly train with and they know your body, they know your level of strength, they know when to push you, they know when to support you, and they know when to spot you on different exercises, and you get a better training session with them, then you're probably gonna be better with a training partner. If you find that when you're in the gym, you go into that flow state, you like to plug in your music and disconnect from the world and just get your workout done, smash it and leave, then you're probably gonna be better to train by yourself. There's pros and cons to both. A lot of it comes down to personal preference and which one you get better results with. Okay, next question comes in from Shane Muggs. What are your thoughts on the book, The Secret by Rhonda Byrne? Okay, so I've spoken about The Secret a couple of times in the past. Personally, I'm a fan of The Secret in terms of what it's done for the world and how it's opened up and helped support a lot of people in terms of their mindset and realizing that when they take ownership of their situations and they believe in the law of attraction, if they can somehow combine that with action, which is a message that got kind of lost in The Secret, I think it can help and support a lot of people. Personally, I got nothing from it. Now, I'm a big fan of the law of attraction. And one of the reasons that I read it was I had my friend Rob Lipset was on the podcast a while back and he recommended it. I'm a big Conor McGregor fan. I don't watch that much UFC, but I love Conor McGregor's mindset and his attitude towards life. And Conor McGregor regularly talks about the law of attraction, and Rob recommended Rhonda Byrne's book to me. So I picked it up. And I try to read it with a fresh mind. You know, I love the Bruce Lee quote that a cup's usefulness is in its emptiness. And I had a lot of preconceived ideas from people that I had trusted about not being the most resourceful of books. So I tried to go into it with a completely clear mind, and I read it. And the truth was, I didn't get anything from it. I feel the best analogy that I can ever use with Rhonda Byrne's Secret is, if you've never been to the gym and somebody gives you a 3x8 program or a 3x10 program on compound lifts and some isolation moves, you're going to get great results in the gym from a 3x10. But if you've been training for 5, 6 years, you've done DTP and German volume training or metabolic conditioning, or you've been training for a long period of time, a 3x10 program will actually put you backwards because it's not going to support your end goal in training. I felt the same about Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. I had read so many books on self-development and the law of attraction and just personal development in general. I read 2 or 3 books a week, particularly ones like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, which is not necessarily getting monetarily rich, even though it does talk about it from a monetization point of view, but in terms of being fulfilled in your lifestyle and thinking things into existence and then putting the action in place in order to create the life that you want. And there's a lot of that messages, Awaken the Giant Within from Tony Robbins, Jack Canfield's 20 Success Principles, all have these messages about thinking about what you want and then using the law of attraction with action in order to make it happen. What I felt personally got, again, everyone takes different messages from different books that they read, but the message that I felt got lost in The Secret was that the law of attraction works by itself, that you could just sit at home and think about becoming a millionaire and the universe would give it to you. Personally, I think it's completely ridiculous that that doesn't happen. I don't think there's a case that that's ever happened with anybody. But I think if you can combine the message of the law of attraction with action and you actually go out and make things happen, then the law of attraction holds true. Like, regardless of whether you believe in the cognitive neuroscience, which is the opposite side of the spectrum, which is your reticular activation system in your brain, it's just cognitive neuroscience. And the more we learn about the human brain and the human condition and the different parts of the brain, we know that we have an internal GPS. It's called our reticular activation system. It's what your brain gets you to focus on. The best example that I normally use is if you walk into a room and somebody else has the same t-shirt as you or the same shoes as you, you notice it straight away. But if you didn't have those shoes, you didn't have that t-shirt, it wouldn't even register on your link. You wouldn't even see it or notice it. But your reticular activation system, because you have those trainers at home or you have that teacher at home, focused in when you saw it in the room. that's effectively how the cognitive neuroscience of the law of attraction works. It's like focusing on something, getting it in your mind's eye, and your brain focuses on that, and then all the opportunities that weren't there before start to present themselves, and it's up to you then to whether you take them or not. I, as I said, didn't get a lot from that book. However, the fact that it has helped a lot of people, I would never, again, the messaging that everyone gets from different books that they read is going to be different depending on the experience, depending on where you are in your life at this moment in time. I didn't get anything from it, but that's not to say that you'll read it and not get an amazing message from it. I personally recommend it like the 3x10, 3x8 program. If you've never read a book on cognitive neuroscience, if you've never read a book on personal development, you haven't read anything by Tony Robbins or Jack Canfield or Eric Thomas or any of these successful speakers and life coaches, then you may get quite a bit from The Secret. It's a pretty decent introduction into that whole realm of life, and particularly if you use it as a stepping stone to further your own knowledge and read Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, or Awaken the Giant Within, or any of these books, and build on the idea that the law of attraction is a thing, and then that you're actually, if you can put the action in place and create the life that you want and combine it, you can have anything you want. And I do believe in that. But in terms of my own thoughts, I didn't get a lot from it, but that's not to say that I don't recommend it. But I would use it like a 3x10 program. If you've read a lot of books in the past on personal development and mindset, probably not going to get an awful lot from The Secret. However, it's your introduction and it's your first taste of anything about positive thinking, then you could get a lot from it. Okay, next question comes in at GarishSheehan98. What does it take to be the best in the world at something? Okay, this one is going to be largely down to my own opinion, because everything is an opinion and perspective of this moment in time. And again, being the very best in the world at something is somewhat subjective. Because we sometimes put people that are ahead of us on pedestals, and because they have achieved things that we want to achieve, we see them as the best in the world, even though in their own mind they're standing on the shoulders of giants and they have their people that they see as the best in the world. So again, it's a little bit of a loose term, but the one thing I can offer for anyone that wants to be incredible at what they do, there is a couple of recipes and ingredients that I have seen either in my own life that I've tried to apply, I've seen with successful people that I've surrounded myself with, or I've seen with successful people like Tony Robbins or some of my own mentors that I've worked with, or I've done some form of coursework or seminar or direct work with, and some of their own personality traits and their own belief systems that massively support them. So I'll share those in the hopes that that will give you some of the ingredients that I've witnessed and I've seen and I've applied, and that can hopefully you can take and use in your own life if you so choose. So the first thing is the people that are the most successful in the world, and the people that are successful, and success is subjective and what it means to each person. For some people it's to, I don't know if you guys can hear the rain, but it's pretty heavy rain today in West King Galway. So the studio, it's hitting right off the windows. But if you can imagine all the successful people and you imagine what success looks like for you, and for a lot of people we put external things in the realm of success, so nice car, lots of money, big house, pretty girlfriend, or successful boyfriend or husband or wife or whatever it is, we tend to put our what we think success is into external things. And success is what it means for you. By all means, if that's what your bar is of success, then that's what you work towards. Personally, I wouldn't ever use your happiness as a gauge and put it into external things, because as I spoke about in my book, The Fitness Mindset, when you put your happiness into external things that can be taken away from you, you're always going to seek something external for that happiness. So it has to come from within you and the love of what you're doing. However, there is one common trend that I've seen with all the successful people that I've either witnessed, read about, or worked with, and that is they fucking work hard. That is one of my biggest takeaways over the last 2 to 3 years, where I've worked a lot on my own personal development, trying to scale my business, trying to scale my life, and trying to scale up my relationships and improve the quality of the relationships in my own life. And it's down to the hard work, because that's in your control. Anyone that plays a sport, anybody that runs their own business, anybody that has their own relationships in their life, which most of us do, the hard work and the effort you put in is in your control. There's other things that I'll speak about, things like genetic ability that you have no control over. You can't right now, in 2017 change your DNA? Again, there's different technologies out there, things like CRISPR that are going into our genes and literally snipping parts of our DNA. But right now in 2017, you can't change your DNA. So you can't change your genetics. However, hard work is something that's completely controllable. And one of the biggest differences I've noticed in my life over the last 2 years is I've made two big changes in my life alongside the birth of my daughter when she came, and she was largely a catalyst for these changes. One was I started reading more books. So I started to learn vicariously through other people, because the smart people learn from their mistakes. The really sharp ones learn from the mistakes of others. You don't have to learn from your mistakes. You can learn from the mistakes of other people. That's why I wrote my fitness, the fitness section of my book. I was like, learn from my mistakes about nutrition and training and supplements, all the errors that I made, so that you can cut your own learning curve. When you learn vicariously through other people and read or consume information, podcasts, audiobooks, physical books, whatever way you're consuming that information, seminars, courses, that is something that over the last 2 years I've started to do more of. I had probably read a total of 10 books in my entire life until the age of 25, 26. And then now I read 2 or 3 books every week. I normally listen to 2 audiobooks a week, and I'll try and get through 1 physical book. And that, in combination with getting up early every morning, has changed the complete trajectory of my life. I've spoken before on the podcast, and we are our stories, and I've regularly talked about how I'm not a morning person, and for years I told myself that story, that I'm not a morning person, I can't do mornings, I just can't do it. And that was a story I told myself. So I started to hijack that and realized, you know what? All the other successful people get up early that I've witnessed, I'm going to trial it and see if it works. And now there's mornings when I get up at 4:45. If I've got to write for my second book, it's the only time in the day that I can write. It's the only window that I have where there's nobody else. Holly, my daughter, is still asleep. My family is still asleep for a large part. If I'm at home writing, and I'm able to get content down before the world has woken up. Now, I'm not saying that everybody needs to get up at 4:45, but that's, in terms of my lifestyle and schedule, is the only time that I can actually physically write and concentrate the most, so that I can put the most effort into book number 2, so that as much as I did into book number 1, which was a bestseller, and it went back on the bestseller list actually a couple of weeks ago, on top of being on it for 8 weeks when it came out first. And those two in combination together have changed the complete trajectory of my life, because it's allowed me to work harder, because I'm learning vicariously through other people and learning from their mistakes, which allows me to focus and put my ladder against the right walls and work hard in the right direction, knowing that, you know, somebody else has made the mistake in marketing or sales or business or life, and I just learn from them. You combine that with getting up a couple of hours earlier every day when you're getting work done before the world wakes up. That can really, really help change the trajectory of your life in terms of working harder than other people. And again, I'm not by no means saying that you need to get up at 4:45, and I don't do that every morning. Some mornings I get up at 6, some mornings I get up at 6:30, and I try and sleep in at weekends, which is normally to 8 or 9. But you got to reverse engineer you, but you've got to work hard the 16, 18 hours that you're awake, because that's when it counts. And that's relative on what that looks like for you. That may be business for you. That may be getting into amazing shape for you. That may be leaving your job to go do something else that you love. Hard work cannot be replicated, and you can outwork anybody else. And I live by the mantra, and anyone that's ever seen me train in the gym has seen this. There's no excuse not to be the hardest worker in the room. Never. In any room that you're in, and I live it in the gym, and how you do anything is how you do everything. And I will regularly look around the gym, and if I'm not the hardest worker in the room, I up the intensity of my workout. And I do the same thing when I go into any room, or if I'm doing anything. There's no excuse not to be the hardest worker in the room, because that's in your control, and that is one of the recipes and ingredients that successful people have. So on top of hard work, there's probably one more ingredient, which I might be met with a little bit of resistance here, but you got to get lucky. You have to get lucky in some way, shape, or form in order to be the best of the world, or in order to be successful for what it is in your life. Now, I live by the belief system that luck is when preparation meets opportunity, and you have to prepare yourself and do the work so when the opportunity comes, you're able to present yourself and be there and take the opportunity, and that's when luck transpires. But sometimes you've got to be lucky. It doesn't matter. The things that I've been fortunate with, and then using myself because your own best example, a lot of things that I do is a combination of opportunities presenting themselves through preparedness of mind, or preparedness of how, trying to outwork different people and outwork different versions of me from past versions of me that just didn't put in the work and then wondered why I didn't have what I wanted. So the truth is, when you have an opportunity and you've prepared yourself for the opportunity, it's up to you then whether you take it. And then after that, it's not telling yourself the story of failure or being afraid or being fearful and then just going for it, because opportunities pass. That time you saw that girl you liked in the coffee shop, or you saw that guy you fancied in the gym and you didn't talk to them and you never seen them again, that opportunity passed. All these opportunities pass. That time you messaged somebody and you never replied, and then you messaged them back 2 or 3 weeks later, those opportunities pass. And understanding that when you have a prepared mind or prepared body or prepared mindset in general in psychology, that when an opportunity presents itself, that you're able to go and take it, and you at least throw something against the wall and see what happens. Because the biggest regret in life is looking back and wondering about the things you didn't do. We don't never regret, like sometimes we will look back and regret the things we did, but the real regrets, you talk to your grandparents, you talk to somebody that's 80, 90 years old, I fear regret, because they will always talk about the things that they never did. They don't talk about the things in their life that they did that they look back on and be like, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. They talk about the things they didn't do. Don't be that person, because when you miss these opportunities and you look back and have regret, you never end up getting to what your version of success looks like, because you're so caught up on the story you told yourself about, well, I'll be afraid if she laughs at me, or I'll be afraid if he won't talk back to me, or I'll be afraid if I look stupid, or I'll be afraid if my mum or dad think that I'm not successful because I made this decision. Regret is a horrible thing to live your life by. And one of the things that I've noticed from successful people and people that are doing the thing that they love the most, they live their lives by nothing ventured, nothing gained. So take the opportunities when they present themselves and use the hard work to make sure that you're prepared when they come up. Okay, next question comes in from Slutton101. What keeps you so passionate? Okay, the truth is, there's a couple of things that really help me in terms of being passionate in what I do. The number one thing is probably being very, very grateful for the things that I have. There was a time in my life when I would have given my left arm to have the things that I have in my life right now. And as someone that has that little bit of a type A personality where I'll set a goal, I'll hit it, and then I'll set the next goal, and I'll hit it and set the next goal, and then I hit it. And I never really pause and reflect on what I've achieved or on that I've actually hit the goal that I set out to do, and you're constantly living in the future. It's why in my book, The Fitness Mindset, I speak in the anxiety section that one of the things I'm very grateful for is my ability to look into the future, bring it back to the present, and then work towards it. But that also leads to a very anxious state in a lot of people, because you're always worrying about the future of what might go wrong or what could go wrong. And I've been a victim of that continuously in my past up until now. But more recently, with the different information I've consumed, the books that I've read, I'm able to pull myself back into the present. There's a great book by Dale Carnegie called How to Stop Worrying and Start Living, where he talks about living in day-tight compartments, where that there is no future and the past is gone, that all we really have is what's going on right now, and living in day-tight compartments, not worrying about tomorrow, not worrying about next week, because you can only do the right things day by day. I live a lot of my business lifestyle by the cloud and the dirt, that you need to spend time in both. The cloud is your vision, what you're trying to achieve. You're up in the clouds wondering about all the possibilities and how you can get to your dreams, or try and get to the business level, or get to your relationship level, or whatever it is that you're trying to achieve that makes you a stronger version of you. But you got to work in the dirt as well, which is the day by day. You're in the dirt, you're grinding it out, and you're doing the right things every single day. And effectively, success is just the right things repeatedly done over and over again. Aristotle said, we are what we repeatedly do. So greatness is an act, or is a habit, not an act. And when you do the right things every single day in the dirt, and you're able to combine it with the clouds of what's going on in the future, that's when great things happen. And when you also add in the ingredient of being grateful for all the things you have, and just pausing and reflecting every once in a while, that there was once upon a time in your life that you would have given everything for this relationship, or this business, or this money in your bank account, or this relationship with your mom, dad, daughter, or son. There was a time in your life when that's all you wanted. But sometimes what happens is we get a little bit of a hedonic adaption. It's a psychological trend that we get used to the things that we have. It's why if you see a sunset, or you see the sun come up every single day, it's beautiful the first time. And then after 7, 10, 11 days on the bounce, it just becomes the norm. It's a hedonic adaptation. We get used to things in our environment. We get used to things in our surroundings. It's why people that win the lotto are ecstatic at the beginning. And then when they go back and have done research on them a year later, they're back to the same feeling and mood they were later. It's hedonic adaptation. And I'm aware that that's something that I have, that as soon as I hit a goal, it just becomes a new norm. My bar has moved, so I've moved with it, and I'm not able to always be grateful for the things that are in the past. Up until now, I haven't been able to be fully present and grateful for the amazing things that I have. Now my passion is largely fueled by that gratefulness that I have a little healthy girl. I have a relationship with my mum who I get to see every day. I have a business that helps and serves thousands of people. I never have to worry about paying bills. I have investments that help and serve me and have set me up for the next 10, 15 years. I have all these things that I constantly do, and I have a gratitude journal every morning where I spend, I have the 5-minute journal where I'll just scribble in 3 things I'm grateful for, and it sets up my conditioning for the whole day on be grateful for the things you have. Even though you're living in the clouds and working towards the future, being grateful for the things you have and then doing the day by day dirt where you're building a block. You know, how do you build a wall? Block by block. How do you run a marathon? Step by step. How do you build a body? Rep by rep. You're doing the right things every single day. And when you combine all of that, passion comes as a result, because you see all the incredible things that are in your future, but you're able to do the things day by day that you love doing, and then you've got that gratefulness that there was once upon a time when you didn't have that. I find that my passion is fueled by that combination of the 3: gratefulness and working in the clouds and the dirt, and then just doing the right things every single day. On top of that, I knew, and I've talked on podcasts in the past, that success is whatever success looks like for you. For some people, it is the big car and the nice house and all of these things, a pretty girlfriend, a successful boyfriend or husband or wife, or whatever it is that looks like for you. I did speak in my book that I probably don't advise putting your happiness into external things that can be taken from you at a blink of an eye, and that happiness truly has to come from within. It comes from the process of whatever it is that you're doing and loving your life day by day. But the truth is, success for me, and I'm fortunate that I have all of these other things. I have good investments and a house and a car and more money than I ever thought I would have when I was working as a teacher. But my success for me is waking up every single morning knowing that if I won the lotto tomorrow, the EuroMillions, or had $1 billion or €1 billion in my bank account, I would still do what I'm doing now. I would make the podcast, I would do the Snapchat Q&As, I would write the books, because I love the process. Buddha said that you can't be happy at the destination unless you're happy on the journey. And that's how I feel about my life now. I love the process and I love the day to day. That fuels my passion, because when you wake up every single day and you get to do the thing you would do for free, and again, it didn't happen overnight. It took 5, 6, probably even 10 years if you start factoring in having to learn about my mindset and get myself in the condition. You know, Les Brown said that the easiest thing in the world is to earn $1 million. The hardest thing in the world is to believe that you can do it. And that's kind of how I felt in terms of my business. The easiest thing in the world was building a business and doing the thing that I would do for free. But the hardest thing in the world was believing that I could do it. So my passion is fueled of a combination of all of that. Living in the clouds and the opportunities and the things that I'm looking forward to. Working in the dirt and the process and doing the things day by day that I love to do. And then being grateful for the things that I have, on top of waking up every single day knowing that I would do it for free, fuels my passion every single day. Okay, that's the end of today's episode. So I hope you got loads of value. For more information on me, head over to the website, www.briankeefitness.com. My programs, Top 50, GA Lean Body, and GA Youth Program are all on there. So hit me up on email if you want more information on those. My Snapchat, BrianK019. My best-selling book, The Fitness Mindset, is now available on Amazon Book Depository, Dewberry's bookstores in Ireland, and selected bookstores in Ireland and the UK. Thank you for coming on Voxonic. Post together all my podcast episodes. Thank you for listening. Catch you all soon.